Ray McCrosby here?
Yep.
Yeah, hi, come on up. Morning and welcome.
How are you?
Very good, thank you. Read the original submission, thanks very much for putting that in. You don't need to reread that to us, but you're very welcome to highlight your key points of concern for us.
Right. First issue basically is that subsequent to a past representative role, I was asked to make a submission by three parties in my turn of catchment. I declined, saying that you know very well my scientific approach. I've moved far beyond having any concerns about anything. So the compromise was, I will travel into Environment South and speak to a submission as long as I don't have to put 1 ounce of effort into it. So I plagiarised Darren and Joanne Crack's submission, and that is my first question. Am I breaking any rules or whatever? I'll be happy if you ask me to leave. I've fulfilled my obligation to those people. And if I'm allowed to stay, what I've come to communicate to you is the contribution Environment South have made to myself as a Waitunga farmer. I read somewhere you wanted solutions. I've got a few of those, whether you're interested or not, doesn't really worry me. So, can I continue?
Yes, you can do very well.
I'm very, very, very fortunate in the respect that 6 years ago, I was granted unanimous speaking rights by a meeting of about 85 people, concerned, angry, frustrated people in the Waitunga catchment. The reason for that basically was Environment South's absolute obsession at the time with Waitunga Lagoon. The readiness of our representative organisations to throw us to the wolves. And the third most important reason, for reasons that I have yet to try and figure out, I stood up in front of 85 people with a plan for farmers by a farmer that any one of those people in that room could have implemented. That experience gave me an insight into the politics of the environment, a more effective handbrake to achieving something meaningful I have yet to find. Subsequently, I relinquished my sole speaking rights as soon as I possibly could, in writing, to Environment South and to the community. At that point in time, I received an email from Clint Rissman, then principal scientist from Environment South, who wrote to me saying, "In the manner or tenor you write, you appear to have more than a rudimentary understanding of science, indeed, and a passion for science and its relation to the environment. Can I come and see you?" His opening line was, "What use is the science I do if farmers cannot understand it? And if it is possible for you and I to reach an understanding, some input into the practical application of that science would be appreciated. It is absolutely amazing the common ground a scientist and a cocky have if you take the politics out of the equation." The first thing that Clint and I did was, I said to him, "Test the water coming out of that pile. It's a fully enclosed system. Throw every test imaginable at it. I want to know what is in that water and why it is there." do it at the worst time of the year, in the winter time, and there was crop in that paddock and there was stock on it. That's all I want from you, and after that I will sort everything out myself. Well, that data made its way to an environmental select committee on overseer. I understand it was used to tune that up a bit. Then I used that data. I overlaid it with data from Beef and Lamb New Zealand. I'm the longest serving respondent, I suppose, of Beef and Lamb statistics. I placed that beside a data from what I think is perhaps the more techno-savvy meat company that we have, Silver Fern Farms, that sent me a copy of their data saying that the beef and lamb that they were receiving off our property fitted their grades and their palatability, and I was in the top performing, I suppose, supplier. I put all that together with that environmental data from Environment South, and I sent it to the Chief Executive of Silver Fern Farms and said, your data suggests I perform well. Beef and Lamb says I do it cost effectively. Environment South's data says I do it environmentally friendly. When am I going to get a premium for adhering to just about every aim that everyone's talking about? They replied saying, well, it appears you're already getting a premium with your increased production, which was a good point. We are actually heading that way, and as soon as we get our programs in place, you'll be first on our list to contact. So an answer, I think I heard a question before, is environmental good environmental practices enhance agricultural production can go hand in hand. I've approved it objectively. I've pointed it out to various people and no one seems to want to listen. And the only reason that I can think of that is that if by some chance we came up with a solution for all the environmental issues, a lot of people would be out of a job, wouldn't they? So what I've come to say is, I really enjoy the environmental issue. Whether we realise it or not, it affects us all equally. And what I've found is, the way an individual reacts to the environmental issue defines them. And it defines them as a community, and it will define us as a nation, and I believe in time it will define us as a species. So what I've come to suggest to you guys today is, well, I've got the solutions, I'm not worried what you do. I've already outlined a plan to Lloyd McCallum at a Waituna Liaison Committee meeting, my approach to nutrient caps, winter restrictions and overland flow, all in place. Unfortunately, it's all up here. Well, if I get time, I might write it down one day. But what I'd like to suggest to you guys is that the solution or the plan that you come up with will define you. And the way this community reacts to it will define it. And I was wondering if you can leave a part in your plan for farmers that want to embrace science and just get on with the job, to work in an autonomous way, sure, with rules, regulations or some kind of evidence support. And my reasoning there is that allows Environment South to concentrate on those that prefer to spend their time coming up with arguments about not to do what not to do, coming up with the arguments of not to change anything. So it's just a matter of, as I said, with the risk of repeating myself, give some flexibility in your plan for people that are willing to adopt science, get on with it, for the sake of us all. That's it.
Okay, thanks very much for that. Questions, Lloyd?
Thanks, Ray. Just a couple, I think, just referring back to the submission that you put in.
Darren and Joanne put in.
Do you have any comment around, you made in, the comment in the submission is 4 hectares. Why 4 hectares? Was there any reason for 4 hectares? The plan that was notified talks about 20 hectares as a minimum, but you've actually gone down to 4.
Oh, well, no.
Okay.
Only reasoning I can think of there, no discussions with, that is in regards of the winter.
No, it's in farming. You've actually said that you basically start from 4 hectares as a permitted activity, so you need to have plans in place, farm plans, etc., overseer from 4 hectares and up.
Oh, yeah. No.
Okay, we'll move on.
Do you move on, as I said?
Just before, I just might interject, Mr. McCroskey's been quite candid about the fact that he plagiarised this submission from another party. So I really don't think there's much point in asking questions in detail. So if we have any questions on the high-level issues that have been raised, we'll have those, otherwise we'll just move on.
The only other one, Mr. Chairman, would be, can you summarise briefly the soil test results from the drain for the panel?
The water test?
Yes.
All that data's available in Environment South and somewhere, I suspect. It's probably all buried in the... Briefly, the levels of nasties, I suppose, E. coli, phosphorus and nitrates, and were all below the standard for New Zealand drinking water. And the reason for that, principally, is a 30-year interest in soil science and with a emphasis on microbial activity and an absolute abhorrence for the overuse of petrochemical nitrogen or urea. That stuff is pure poison.
That's even no questions.
I'm just trying to figure out exactly what you're saying to us. It's all very interesting, but I'll pick up the key point. I think you're saying there needs to be some scope for farmers to be able to engage and fix a problem.
Yeah.
Right. Did you look at Appendix E in the plan, which is all about farm environment management plans?
No.
Okay.
As I say, my approach, I'm quite happy with it. I've been very fortunate. But the chief principal scientist from Environment South and come on the place, and my cocky logic is, if you test the water coming off your place and work your way back.
Yeah, right.
And the cost has that been absolutely non-existent, minimal. I can't believe the actual cost effectiveness of the whole thing. Admittedly, I had Environment South as water testing, and that's what I've come to thank you for. But the payback in environmental mitigation I've found was quite substantial. So,
okay. I don't have any other questions.
Any high level questions?
Well, the writer.
Sorry, it's not answering questions.
No, he may know about the issue of the intensive winter grazing and close to the Waituna wetlands.
Yeah.
And the issue seems to be arising, the rising of the Waituna.
Yeah. Yeah, I know about that. What would
be issue?
Spoke to that with Lloyd last meeting we had. I think it's an absolute travesty the way the farmers on the lagoon are being treated, in the respect that all the science points to the fact that you wanted to raise the levels, essentially, And my understanding of the science with all the peat soils, when they become waterlogged, they don't metabolise nitrates, they create it. So it's an absolute travesty in my mind for Environment Southland or whoever is driving these lake levels. I don't say that in time you can do that. But essentially, if I'm missing something, the same amount of nutrients and everything are still pouring down the Waituna and the Karen Creeks into the catchment from the farming practices, because in the 6 years that I've become environmentally aware, I don't think a lot's changed. A lot of fancy rhetoric and high-powered meetings and going round in circles, but at the coalface, fertiliser practices, etc., etc., nothing has changed. So, to answer your question, if environmentalists in due course want to close the lagoon and have it up at that level, yeah, there's a lot of talk about purchasing the land all around it and all that type of thing. If that's the way everyone wants to go, fine. But I've got serious questions, or serious doubts, what the long-term environmental implications are going to be at that approach. Can you not understand? Like, it's all ambulance at the bottom of the cliff stuff. The approach to Waituna is, let's keep it shut. It's still the same stuff pouring in. Turn the tap off from above first, then alter the levels.
Yeah.
So,
yep.
Thanks, coming in, Ms. McCrosty, and being so candid with us.
Oh, well, as I said, I've had an insight into the politics of the environment. I never wanted to go there. So, thank you very much.